1,000 years ago, there was a rabbi that found a code just by counting with his finger. It led him to understanding the orbits of the moon.
Oh, wow.
And for centuries, Israel had the most accurate moon orbit data, which they needed for planting crops and all that, that was what until the 60s wasn't improved upon until NASA used computers on it.
Huh.
Now, later in the 1700s, there was a famous mathematician rabbi by the name of the Vilna Gaon who believed that the Torah was the blueprint of creation.
Oh.
And gave a lot of credit to it. And he also made some really incredible predictions, like the Strait of Bosphorus, which is in Turkey, that before Messiah would come, that Russian ships would be seen traversing that strait. Well, that just happened just months ago.
Oh, wow.
Very interesting. And if you've seen the UFO video analysis that I did of the Kumburgaz UFO.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that Kumburgaz in Turkey is only a few miles from the Bosphorus Strait.
Wow.
It's just off to the right. If you, you know, sail down into the Sea of Marmara, Kumburgaz is just a few miles to the right. I mean, you could just do it in a few minutes.
Huh.
So that area, there's something there. That area may have some kind of a opening or a portal, or I don't know what you'd call it. And I know, you know, this isn't sci-fi, but this is really happening.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the codes themselves. The codes used back in the 1950s, there was a rabbi, another one, Michael Dove Weissmandel, who was a brilliant mathematician. And when he was just a teenager, he was writing the whole Torah down on index cards in little 10 by 10 grids and putting them on the table to look for patterns. This is what code breakers do.
Wow.
Back in the time of the Cold War, they used to, guys at the NSA would, on tractor feed paper, print out all of these communiques from Russia and lay them down their hallways and just walk down the hallways looking for patterns. And so this is the kind of brainy types that are interested in doing this. Well, Weissmandel was that kind of genius and discovered codes just by counting with his finger that were repeatable. And he got a team of interns working with him, and they found all sorts of things in the Torah codes. But it was so time-consuming, and it was all random chance. You wouldn't know where to start or how many letters to skip or anything like that. So there wasn't computers back then available. And that didn't happen until the 70s when the Apple II computer came out and Professor Ripps got a hold of Weissmandel's book and found it very interesting through another rabbi that gave it to him and decided to get a couple of his friends who were programmers to write some software to see if they could search the codes. Now, this was back when computers didn't have Hebrew fonts or anything like that. So it didn't dawn on me that that was the case until he told me what computer he was using. And I'm going, wow, that computer probably didn't have hardly any RAM. And you wouldn't have a Hebrew font in those days. It would just be, you know, very simple. So I said, so how did you do that? And he said, oh, we just converted all of the Torah text into numbers and just fed the computer numbers.
Oh, wow.
And my head is like aching just thinking about that. You know, I said, that seems really complicated. He goes, oh, no, it's quite easy, actually. He said, it's easy for you, not for me. That's how they found the original Torah codes. And when I said, what was the first code that you found on the computer using the skip code that Weissmandel had discovered, ELS, equidistant letter sequencing, which is like you skip every so many letters and then you get another letter. But this allowed you to put a word in and look for that word and see if it existed in the Torah, which had never been done. So I said, so what did you find that you felt was more than random chance? And he whipped out his little IBM laptop and said, I still have this. And he opened it up and it was the Vilna Gaon, which is kind of like a Jewish rabbi's hero because the villain was so smart.
Uh-huh.
And embodies the whole idea that the Torah was more than what we, or even Christians, give it credit for. And he found the name Vilna Gaon, his birth and death, you know, where he lived, all these things in one line of text.
Wow.
Expanding. Now, I said, that's really incredible. Because he thought he was going crazy, actually.
Yeah.
I'm making this up. I'm just trying to make something happen. But he's not crazy. He's really, really smart. So now, at the end of the 80s, early 90s, we have another guy that worked on it by the name of Dr. Alex Rotenberg, a graduate of the Moscow University of Moscow, decided that maybe we should have a graphic representation of what's going on. And he was the guy that came up with the beautiful kind of crossword puzzle look that we have today. That really hasn't changed much in decades, except now they realize they've got to update the software massively or it won't run on Windows 10 or Macintosh. So they need money. And if anybody wants to contribute, I have a source in New York where you can send it. I'm not making any money off of that, but I'd like to see them have the funds that they need to do this.
Yeah.
Because the research needs to continue on a modern computer.
Yeah. So if people are interested in donating, do they just contact you or is there a website or something they can go to?
Well, actually it's Rabbi Gleiserson's son named Craig has a nonprofit organization. And one thing I haven't mentioned and really need to is that all of the proceeds from the Torah Code film, I always give the rabbis 10%, like mm-hmm. a tithe. I agreed to that early on, and I've always done that, to go into their research. And I know like Dr. Rotenberg has been using it because he's already trying to write some software. But what Professor Herlich would like to do is get a team working on it at City University in New York, guys that are really, really good at the computer. See, what most people don't know is Professor Herlich is an incredibly brilliant guy when it comes to computers. His whole title there is Distinguished Professor of Computer Science.
Oh, wow.
He was the guy that worked on image compression back before we had JPEG, the Joint Photographic Experts Group that everybody uses. He helped develop that when it was basically a top secret project when satellites were transmitting images from space. It was Herlich's work that was able to compress those images so we could even see them.
Wow.
Later on, it ended up into the corporations and the public was able to finally get that technology, which is we use it constantly, all the time. So Herlich was one of the original inventors of image compression. I mean, it's really incredible.
Yeah. Wow, that really is. What are some of the other more surprising things that that have been found in the Torah codes?
Oh, it's just it's incredible.
I'm sure pretty much everything is surprising.
Well, the things that I just talked about with Rabbi Gleiserson, I mean, mm-hmm. I was stunned. He called me the Sunday before that interview, and since Derek had just had me on Skywatch, and it hasn't even aired yet, that interview, mm-hmm. but I told him, I said, you know, Rabbi Gleiserson called me on Sunday and said he's flying in to see me. Now, this is a 78-year-old rabbi that just picked up and left Jerusalem to fly to LAX just to meet with me.
Wow.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
Going to do that. I have to show you what I found. This is so incredible. I said, great. You know, fine. I'm working with LA on Monday, but Tuesday I have time for you. So I went and picked him up, and he was just like bouncing off the walls. Well, what he had discovered were all of these codes about 2016. And this is something Tom Horn and I were already discussing a week earlier. Well, now he's come up with codes about 2016 and had been coming up with codes about it even before then. But what was interesting about it is that the ELS skip of the key words that he was finding in these tables was 5,776 characters wide.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's like a double whammy. Okay, you're getting information about 2016, but the skip of the code itself is the same number.
Yeah.
Now, that can't be a coincidence, and yet we can't make predictions, and we'll not. I won't do that because we're often wrong. So we don't know if it's a prediction or if it's a warning, or if it's what people are talking about. That could be too. I mean, the Torah seems to emulate what's coming out in the press, what's on the internet, what people are worried about. And this year is a very pivotal year. I mean, it may be the buzz from this year is so great that it comes up in the codes, just automatically does. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this isn't the web bot.
Some right.
people ask me that too. It's not, it doesn't work that way. It's not taking an average. This is looking for specific words in a table with other words in relationship to them. And we constantly get the word Mashiach coming up. And there's another form of codes too, which I haven't been able to talk on, and that is called Gematria. And that is basically, for centuries, all of the Hebrew letters have been assigned a number.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is different than what I was saying Professor Rips did. This is a different kind of thing. But even in Revelation, when it talks about the Antichrist, and the man had a name, and it was the number of a man. And so we have to go, okay, was this his name that was encoded as a number? You know, the whole 666 thing and all of that. And some people say, well, Nero had the number 666 attached to his name. So some people think that it was actually Nero of Rome in those days. So it's kind of confusing. But there are codes about names and all of that. In fact, if you guys have a chance to do this, you know what the Fibonacci circle is, the Fibonacci spiral.
Yeah.
Professor Herlich had done some codes about that, but back in 98 or 99, there was a movie done called Pi, and it was about this kid who was really brilliant. It's a black and white movie. It's really well done, actually. And he was a genius guy when it came to mathematics. And if you look up Fibonacci on YouTube, you'll find this movie, this little 3-minute clip of it, where he's sitting down in a bar having something to, you know, just a snack, and this rabbi comes in that's kind of like a chain smoker. He goes, oh, I'm did you know that the Torah is full of numbers? And so this rabbi starts rattling off this information, like, you know, man, woman, child. I mean, and all these numbers add up. I mean, they constantly work. It's like weird. You know, and he does this like in a minute. So it's not boring. He just whips out this stuff. They're just drawing on a newspaper. And then the rabbi mentions some of these numbers, and the kid who's so smart goes, oh, that's the Fibonacci circle.
Wow.
So what are you talking about? And he explained, and of course he's, you know, he talked about the golden spiral, and all of that. And then the clip in the movie kind of devolves into where he's pouring cream into his coffee and it goes into a spiral.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now the guy's blowing smoke from a cigarette and it curls. And then you get this chill bumps, like, wow, the Torah is inclusive of just the physical nature of reality. You know, that's just really, then it gets really deep, and he couldn't take it. He slammed the book and ran out the door. It was like too much for him.